I'm back in Philippians, and if you don't have a Bible, I hope you'll listen closely, because we're going to ask all of you with a Bible to turn to several passages of Scripture today as we look in the Word of God, because we want to verify what that we're saying from the Word of God. That's all that really matters, is what the Bible says. I talked to a gentleman this week, and he said, "You know, I know that you go from the King James Version." He said, "I know that you preach," but he said, "It was just men that wrote that. How do you know that any of that is really true? How do you know all of that?" And I said, "Well, I think I can answer that for you." I said, "You talk about history, and that's all that I've heard." I said, "If you would, tell me someone else that has stood the ravages of skepticism for 2,000 years, and still when you speak his name, he does just what he said he would do by the authority of his name." Philippians, the writer is trying to get us in the mindset that we can never fully comprehend Christ. I can't describe him to you. There's no way that I can say everything that I'd like to say. I know that I'll be preaching at least a couple more sermons in this series. And if the Lord tarries his coming, I'm looking for Jesus to come any time. But I want to break down where that we've been and just a few things that I want to share with you. Let's look in chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be," and I don't know if you take notes or underline, but I've got underline, "equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made," and again, I have this underline, "made," and these words, "in the likeness of men," referring that he was made in the flesh. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." The word "obedient" I have underlined in my Bible. "Unto death, even," and the next phrase, "the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath," I love these two words, "highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I ask you to underline some particular words, because that's really the points to these sermons that we've been dealing with. When I started on the subject, who is Jesus? Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Is what the New Testament question was proposed. And they were asked this question with sincere hearts. Tell me what you really think about Jesus. Because everything hinges on what you think about Jesus. You may not think much of me, but that's okay. Really, it is. It's okay. I'm not your Savior. I'm not your judge. You may not think much of this church. That's okay. That's okay too. Because we're not the one that you answer to in the end. But the question of life is, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And you need to understand that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. That question is so pertinent, especially to the day that we live in today, because the identity of Jesus is missing in many churches around the world. I don't say that in a judgmental way. I'm saying it in a factual way. There will be churches all around the world that will never pray one prayer in the name of Jesus today, will never sing one song about Jesus today, will never ever preach one sermon about Jesus. But our gathering together isn't just to say that we've put in a little bit of time and we've marched out the doors and look at what we've done and look at what God's accomplished us to do. The important reason why we're here today is to lift up Jesus. Those words I ask you to underline, equal with God, that tells us that Jesus is the sovereign Son of God. I ask you to also underline the phrase, likeness of men. That tells us that he was born of a virgin. So he is the supernatural Son of God. Then also I ask you to underline the word obedient. Not one time did Jesus ever displease the Heavenly Father. He was obedient. Is there anyone here today in this service that can say your children or yourself has always been obedient? You'd have to be honest and say you haven't always pleased your earthly father, let alone the heavenly father. But Jesus was obedient in all things, even the things that he maybe did not desire. When he prayed in the garden, let this cup pass from me. Yet he was obedient. He was obedient to fulfill the will of the heavenly father. But he said, I'll do your will, Lord. I'll do your will, Father, more than anything. He was obedient to everything God wanted him to do, from coming to this world, being born of a virgin, to walking the dusty trails of life, to being baptized, to dying on a cross, raising from the dead. All of that was done in obedience. That word obedience is a word that we don't like in our society today. Because the thing where a lot of people, they're confused about the fact, I know that we say unbelievers will have their part in the lake of fire. And therefore we think that really there are unbelievers in everything in life, that people have no belief system. But that's not what the Bible's referring to. Those unbelievers are the common core of everyone. Everyone in the lake of fire will have one thing in common. They did not believe Jesus. They were unbelieving concerning Jesus. Not that they were unbelieving in every avenue of their life. All of you today, every one of you, are a believer. The question is, what do you believe? Either you believe this Bible is the Word of God or you believe it's not. Someone said, I don't believe anything. I'm an atheist. Yes, you believe there is no God. You have a belief system. See, God said He's given every one of us a measure of faith. It's what we do with that measure of faith that determines the outcome of eternity for us. We all believe something. Now, either you believe Jesus is who He said He is, or you don't believe He is who He said He is. Either you believe He'll do what He said He'll do in His Word, or you believe that He won't do it. And the difference between victory and peace in the hour of death is if you believe Jesus for who He is and His Word, for what He says in His Word. So really it's not a question of are you a believer? The question is your obedience to believe the right thing. Someone says, well, I know the gospel, that's good enough. I know what messages are, I know what sermons are, that's good enough. But that's not good enough. To hear it is not to obey it. Jesus taught us obedience. And He said, I'm going to obey what my Father wants. And until we get to the place that we are willing to obey what God wants in our life and what God teaches in His Word, then we're in rebellion to the Word of God and we're in rebellion to the Holy Spirit, and our life is miserable and we can't have all that God intended us to have. So He is the sinless Son of God. Then I ask you also to underline the death of the cross. He is the sacrificial Son of God. I better stop right there because I'm already in over my head. I don't even know if I'll get to the first point. You've got to accept the fact that... Okay, let me clarify this in the beginning, because some of you are going to not like what I have to say, and it's not because you disagree, it's just because you're maybe confused about it. You've got to grasp this before you can ever appreciate who Jesus is. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Over 7,000 times in your King James Bible, the word Jehovah appears, generally translated as Lord. That word is used more than any other word, to my knowledge, for Jehovah. And while Jehovah takes many different forms to His name, Jehovah our healer, Jehovah our provider, and I could go on and on, but don't get me on that today. It's just, He is Jehovah. That's a premise that's said in the Word of God. It means Almighty. He doesn't have some might. He doesn't have some power. He is all-powerful. He is Almighty. He can do anything. Jehovah was not restricted by anyone, anything, any place, any time. He's Jehovah. He's everywhere, all the time. The earth and the fullness thereof is His. He made it all, controls it all. You can't stop Him. You can't hinder Him. You can't change His mind. He's Jehovah 7,000 times through the Word of God. He clarifies in the Old Testament alone. He's Jehovah. That's not up for debate. It's not whether you question it or don't question it. He is exactly who He said He is. He is Almighty. And by the way, if you don't have an Almighty Lord, you don't have a Lord. I don't want to serve a Lord that's weak. I don't want to serve a Lord that has no ability. I want to serve a Lord of power and might. I want to serve a Lord that has power enough to reach into sin and pull me out of the sin that I'm in. I want to serve a Lord that has power enough to conquer death, hell, and the grave. I want to serve a Lord that has power over all the troubles and strife, and especially power over the devil and power over the flesh. I serve an Almighty Jehovah. Almighty. But the Jesus of the New Testament is the same Jehovah of the Old Testament. Lick your fingers. I'm going to have you turning. Go, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. From the very announcement of Jesus into this world, He proves that He's Jehovah. I'm not even going to get to my sermon today. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Keep your Bibles open. If you don't have one, someone beside of you doesn't have a Bible, share with them. And if there's no one near to you to share with, then I hope that you'll trust me. I'm reading it right. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Do you have it? Okay. Now, while you have that, I want you to turn to Matthew. Hold it. Keep your finger right there. Turn over to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. Just hold them together where you can flip back and forth. We really do need to know what the Word of God says. Matthew 3:3, Old Testament, New Testament. Isaiah over 700 years before Jesus came. Okay, you got it? Isaiah 40, verse 3. Isaiah said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The word God there is Jehovah. That's the name. So he's talking about Jehovah in the Old Testament. Matthew 3:3. Look at what the Bible says. See if you see any similarities. "For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Esaias." That is the Greek translation of the word Isaiah. This is what he said. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now he's talking about God, Jehovah. Who is that one? Go down to verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus." John was the forerunner of the Jehovah, saying, Jehovah God will walk among you. Jesus will come to where you are and tabernacle with you. I don't want to make you weary, but you got to stay with me. You're there in Isaiah anyway. Just go on over to Isaiah 44:6. Isaiah 44:6. You're real close to that one. Now go all the way back to Revelation. Keep your finger on Isaiah. Go all the way to Revelation chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. When you get them both pinched together, say amen. Most of you have it. Listen, if you don't have it, listen. Isaiah 44:6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. "The Lord of hosts." This is what he's saying about Jehovah. This is who Jehovah is, the Lord of hosts. "I am the first and I am the last. And beside me there is no God." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and suddenly he sees the resurrected Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, John said, when I saw Jesus in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Hey, let me pause right here. How dare you make fun of anyone that falls in the presence of God as though they're dead? It may not happen to you, but I'm here to tell you, I believe the glory of God can come on us so strong it can nigh on kill us. We can get to the place that our bodies cannot contain all that God is and all that God has. He has more power, more glory than what we'll ever understand. John said, I thought I was a dead man. Then look at what he said. Revelation 1:17. And he, Jesus, laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. What's the next phrase? I am the first and the last. Did not Isaiah say about the Jehovah God? He is the first and the last. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I am the first and the last. There's no God but me, the true, the living God that has power over death. Well, let's stay in Isaiah. Isaiah 43:11. You figure it out now. Don't take your hand out of your Bible unless you're going to shout. You have to look it up again. Isaiah 43:11. Then when you're there, go to the book of Titus. Titus is right after Timothy. Moving forward near the rear of the New Testament. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Give you a moment. I know it's a little harder to find both. After all, I did come prepared. You didn't come prepared for all this today. Isaiah 43:11. Let's go to it. Even I, this is the Lord speaking. I am the Lord, Jehovah. Now this tells us something about Jehovah. He said, and beside me there is no what? Savior. So Jehovah, there's none like him. He's the first. He's the last. He had someone that come before him to announce his coming, to prepare the way. And then he said, Jehovah is our Savior. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Now who's the Savior? Jehovah. Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Savior. In the New Testament, looking for that blessed hope, verse 13, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who? Jesus Christ. Same phrase in the Greek as the Hebrew of the Old Testament. He is our Savior. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. I'm about to have a fit. Can I do one more? Let me just do one more. I don't want you to be weary with this. Go to Psalm 24. Yeah, Psalm 24. 24th Psalm. Psalm 24. And when you find Psalm 24, put your finger right there. And you need to go all the way over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Got the four gospel writers. Acts, Romans. Move right on into Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 24, look in verse 10. Psalm 24, 10. Who is this King of glory? The what? Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah translated Lord. Jehovah of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, that means pause and think about that. Just think about that. Will you think about that for just a minute? Think about that. Who is the King of glory? Jehovah. He is the King of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. Now, Jehovah in the Old Testament is the King of glory. The Jehovah of glory. Look in 1 Corinthians 2, 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord, the Jehovah of glory. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. It would really do you good to get away from people that tell you that the Old Testament is not important. Because the Old Testament teaches us as much about Jesus as the New Testament teaches us about Jesus. In the Old Testament, He is concealed. In the New Testament, He is revealed. Everything that Jehovah was to the people of God when He was on this operating among the people of the Old Testament, then Jesus is that same powerful Jehovah of the New Testament that can do anything, anywhere, anytime. They reverenced Jehovah in the Old Testament. The Jews, they didn't just glance over His name and talk about His name and pass on over His name. In fact, there's many historical accounts that when they were in service and they were worshiping God and the Scriptures would be open, if they came to the name Jehovah, they would not audibly speak His name. They would close their eyes and bow their head in worship because the presence of Jehovah was there. They had no printing presses. They couldn't write the name of Jehovah as they would write it down. They'd come to that name. They wouldn't take the pen that they were using as scribes to scribe down the Old Testament phrases about Jehovah. Instead, when they came to that phrase of Jehovah, what they would do, they'd lay the pen down and pick up a new pen, a pen that was reserved only for the writing of the name of Jehovah. It was so holy, so sanctified, so reverent that when they called out that name and when they wrote that name, they wanted to make sure that it was regarded with respect. Now don't you go throwing the name of Jesus around, for the Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. If you heard the song correct, now we speak His name. We pray in His name. We praise Him. We worship Him, the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne. But we don't use Jesus' name in vain. We don't use the name of Jehovah in vain. Nor do we use the name of Jesus in vain. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I'm feeling good about it. He was sinless. He was sacrificial. Now what I'm about to tell you in just a couple of minutes here has cost me more friends in the ministry, canceled more revival meetings. I guess probably the only thing that has caused me to have more revivals canceled, you know what it is, and I preached it right here. But when it comes to doctrinal issues, this has cost me more meetings than anything else, and I never dreamed it as a boy preacher. Never dreamed it. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the who of the New Testament? The Jesus of the New Testament. So if he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, whose blood was shed on the cross? If the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament, it was the blood of God. That was offered to save us from our sins. Now he said, I am Jehovah. Beside thee, there's none other. And if it was the blood of God that was offered on the cross, no need for temple sacrifice for Christians. In fact, by the time you get to Hebrews, he even starts to teach. Now remember, the book of Hebrews was written to Jews that had been converted. And he began to teach and preach in the book of Hebrews and tell them in the book of Hebrews that if they willingly sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for their sin. Anybody ever been confused over that? Can I tell you why? He said, once you come to the knowledge that it was the blood of God that was offered on Calvary's cross, and since He is God, Jehovah, beside Him there is none other. Since He is the first and the... If He was the last sacrifice, there'll be no more sacrifice. And what they were saying to those Jews, those Orthodox Jews, you used to have to go every year. You had to offer sacrifice every year. There were certain festivals and feasts that you had to go to every year. And there had to be a sacrifice that was offered. But when Jesus came and offered His blood, there's no need for goats and heifers and turtle doves and bulls, because He is the first and the last. He is the eternal sacrifice. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross and the blood came down, His blood was royal blood. You heard it right. Royal blood. He was the Son of God. His blood was different from your blood and my blood. We weren't conceived by a virgin. We were conceived and shapen in our sins and iniquity. But He was sinless. Sin had not touched the blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal blood, the life-giving blood, the blood that is supreme above all others. The blood of Jesus was royal blood. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you better read Acts 20:28. Huh. We're called the church of God, the church of Jehovah, the church of God, which He, Jesus, hath purchased with His own blood. The church of God, God's church, purchased with God's blood. If you're trying to get in any other way, you're not going to make it. His blood was royal. His blood was rich. His blood was red. Red like ours. But it left an indelible mark on humanity to change us forever. Thank God the blood is, will be, and will be forevermore. And there'll come a day when judgment will pass through once again. And the greatest of all Passovers will occur. But when that Passover occurs, Jehovah says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I know there's many things in my life that I can't go back and change. And things that I can't undo. And we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And those things have made a mark on my mind that I'll never get rid of and you'll never get rid of. But you bear in mind, God, through His infinite wisdom, God, through His mercy and grace, Jehovah, any time that you hear that name, Jehovah, that's the personal name of God. That is the name that God, when He had creation, He was called by the name Elohim. The name Elohim is a picture of the Trinity, but when it comes to redemption and compassion, He's always called Jehovah. Jehovah said, I am the first and the last. I make the choice. I make the decision, and this is my decision. decision. When I look down and I see the blood, not of a bull, not of a goat, not of a heifer, when I see the blood of Jesus Christ, Jehovah, who died on the cross, when I see that blood, your sins are covered. I won't go beyond the blood, look beyond the blood, trust anything else but the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. It's still the blood. The question today is this: what do you believe? You do believe. You do believe. You believe something. See, God would lie. Well, what's the unbelievers of the Bible? I said it at the beginning. Unbelievers as to who Jesus said He was and who Jesus really is. We don't have time to play games, church. This world is dying, lost, and going to hell. What we need to do is tell people about Jesus. Don't fuss with them. Don't argue with them. Don't fight with them, and don't waste your time. Believe Him for who He said He was. I didn't get to the message. I apologize. You just wait if the Lord tarries till next Sunday morning. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. We're running out of time. We better get the lost to Jesus. Don't spend your time fussing around with them, arguing around with them over things that don't matter. Don't do it. Don't let unbelievers of Jesus that believe that He's not who He said He was drag you down in the same miry pit. Rise above it. Some weeks ago, I was out in the front yard working. A couple of guys come up with a briefcase. Said, "We'd like to talk to you about religion." I said, "Lord, forgive me. I sure didn't mean to lie. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I was asking. I mean, words, you say one thing, but it can mean totally something different. Can you agree with that? Let me prove to you. First time I was visiting, and I heard the doctor talk about the aorta. Aorta. He knew what he meant. Where I'm from, that means not something in your heart. That means, aorta, seen that wreck out there. I'm hillbilly, I'm sorry. How about mayonnaise? Yeah, mayonnaise. They'd say, mayonnaise, that's what you put on your sandwich. Not where I'm from. Mayonnaise, a wreck out there. You wouldn't believe what's going on. So he said, "I want to talk to you about religion." That can mean anything. And I said, "What religion are you?" "Oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference." I said, "It makes all the difference." I said, "First of all, if I had a religion I was ashamed of, I'd give me another one." And I'm saying, "You're saying it makes no difference. What are you doing out here on a sunny day? Keep me from working. If it makes no difference, you're telling me that it's important enough for me to stop what I'm doing to talk to you about it. But you're too embarrassed to tell me what you are." They said, "Well, I don't want to offend anybody, but I got to say it." They said it. They said, "We're Jehovah's Witness." I said, "I am too." I pastor that church right up there. Every Sunday and every Wednesday I go in and witness there is none like Jesus. He is Jehovah. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And His power will never change. I witness for Him everywhere I go. They didn't stay long. They were kind. I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm asking you, what do you believe about Jesus? He is Jehovah. Man, I didn't mean to go this long, but it feels good this morning. What do you think of Jesus?